Timothy to not only deliver the letter, but then minister in his place. And more times than not, a lot of times, these letters were being delivered while he was being persecuted in prison. You know, Paul wanted them to know that he appreciated them and that the thoughts of their special relationship really encouraged his heart, especially during the difficult times. You know, how often in our lives are we focused on someone else or maybe expressing appreciation to them when we are going through difficult times? Maybe sometimes as we're going through difficult times, this encouraging relationship, this godly friendship brings us encouragement to our heart. And we can see that here in Timothy's writings in the beginning of this letter. And the one thing that's really burdened my heart when in ministry, and I'm quite sure that Brother Steve and Pastor Herm and Pastor Sam and those that have been in ministry probably could say, yeah, you know, that's been something that's been on my heart as well, Pastor, is how quickly believers can get to where they turn on each other. How these great godly relationships can be severed by the smallest things. By the smallest things. These wonderful relationships that we should be nurturing and trying to grow because of the smallest little thing. We'll cut them off. We'll sever that relationship. But we have to remember here that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What did Paul write to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 6:12? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And if you don't think Satan's running around here in the church, getting in people's ears and trying to cause division, you need a wake-up call. Because he is. He's buzzing around here in our ears and trying to cause strife and division in our relationships. We looked a little bit last week about how Satan attacks us, the devil attacks us, individually. How in one area he can attack us individually is with discouragement. Now he continues to pound on us and try to cause us to be discouraged and try to cause us to doubt our Heavenly Father and His promises and provisions that we get from the Word of God. And he tries to get us to live this defeated life. Not a successful, victorious life that we are supposed to be trying to live in Christ as followers of Christ. No, he wants us to live a defeated life in Christ. So he's going to attack us and he's going to discourage us and he's going to try to cause us to doubt. He's going to try to attack us individually, but know this, he's not going to just stop there. He's not just going to stop with us individually. He's trying to destroy our marriages. I know no one here is probably going to admit that, you know, the enemy's been attacking their marriage. But if you're a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, if you have a family or a marriage that you're trying to keep God as the center of our marriage, plan on this. He's going to try to divide your marriage. He's going to try to divide your families. He's going to try to divide those special relationships that we have in the body of Christ. His strategy is divide and conquer. And that's a plan that's even used in our military strategies today. Divide and conquer. And it's interesting that Jesus kind of addresses this in a special way here in Matthew chapter 12. So please turn there if you can. Matthew chapter 12. As he heals one that's possessed with a devil. And it's interesting that even Jesus' mindset here in this teaching is that even the devil cannot handle a division amongst his own. Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 22, it says, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is this not the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." He's saying, listen, he got this ability from the devil. Listen to Jesus' response. "And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself, what? Shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. He's already addressing here that even with Satan, a house divided cannot stand. So we need to remember that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We need to make sure that when it comes to our godly relationships, know this, they will be attacked. A godly friendship, godly marriage, a godly family. Know this, Satan will be out to try to divide and conquer. Get division first, and then he'll attack us individually. Know this, Satan is after our relationships. So we better guard it with the Word of God. We better guard our families and our relationships with prayer. And all through God's Word, the Lord challenges us to love others, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, to grow those godly relationships. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, please, if you're able. 1 John chapter 4. Now, just a warning, these clocks up here have not been set, so I get another hour to preach, right? So I can preach for an hour and a half? Okay. No. You guys will know. We got an hour less sleep, Pastor. 1 John chapter 4, starting verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God that knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another, even that one that stepped on our toes. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Verse 16, and we have known that believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. You're starting to get the message, right? He's pounding it home pretty hard here. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect or complete, that we may hold, or we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Boy, how often are we motivated by fear in our responses and our actions and our attitudes towards others? And fear is the motivation, not the spirit. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. You know, if we love God, we should love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And not only love them, but nurture these relationships. Nurture means to appreciate or to take great care of. You know, too often we take our godly relationships, our godly friendships for granted. Think about that. Think about how many times in your families or your relationships you have taken that person or that relationship for granted. You say, I'm going to say what I want to say. I'm one of those people that speaks my mind. Be careful, because our words have power. And Satan can use pride and those words to sever a great godly relationship that we should be nurturing, that we should be taking great care of. You know, nurturing a child takes time. Nurturing a child takes time. Nurturing someone sick takes effort. Nurturing a garden takes investment. When you're talking about nurturing a godly relationship, I believe it takes all three. It takes time, it takes effort, and it takes investment. So Paul knows that these believers have a special place in his heart, and he wants to explain to them that they are valued. So first we see the value of remembering the placed. The value of remembering the placed. Going back to our text, verses 1 through 4. It says, Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. You know, God has given us the ability to remember. Unfortunately, that seems to decrease with age, doesn't it? And you think about it as we get older. You know, we kind of lose our health starts to get a little shaky, doesn't it? Our strength, we kind of lose our strength. We kind of start losing our energy. I think probably the thing I hate losing the most is memory. Anybody here just say, I love it, Pastor Rich. When I'm at one part of the house and I'm thinking about something I need at the other part of our house, and I walk all the way over there and I get to the other part of the house and I'm like, why'd I come over here? And guess what? No matter how long you stand in that spot, you're still not going to remember. So you have to walk all the way back to the other part of the house. And then, that's what it was, when you walk all the way back again, right? Isn't that great? That's just awesome. And then if you got bi-level houses, that's really fun. You're going upstairs, right, the lane, up, downstairs, and then, what was it? I hate losing the memory. Well, Paul here is thanking the Lord for his ability to remember this special relationship he has with this group of believers. And then also thanking the Lord for placing them in his life. When's the last time you thanked the Lord for someone that he placed in your life? Maybe it's your spouse. How often do we take our spouses for granted? When's the last time you thanked the Lord for placing that particular, that special someone in your life? Maybe it's family. How often do we thank the Lord for those special relationships, those special people that God has placed in our life? And that's what he's doing here. You know, and the one thing that has really been a blessing to me since I've been here, the 6 months I've been here, this is a special church. I hope you guys realize that. I hope you don't take this church for granted. This is a very special church, and I've been in a lot of different churches, and this is a very special church. And one thing that's really encouraged my heart is how much you care for one another. And the calls, and the cards, and the visits. You know, I went to visit Bob and Linda Sipes last week. As I was walking in, Carol Fister was on the phone with Linda, just checking in. See how they're doing. How's Bob doing? How's everything going? You know, I went to visit Richard Burkett in the hospital. And as I pull into Waynesboro Hospital, there goes Brother Joe George out in his truck, ignoring me because I know he saw me. I'm like, hey, George, hey! Just got done visiting Brother Richard Burkett right before I got there. You know, that's been an encouragement to me, and it happens all throughout this church, and it's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. But the fact that Paul, notice here in this text, that he addresses the entire church before he addresses the pastors and the deacons. And that says a lot about where his heart is and how sincere Paul's heart is about the entire body and not just that pastoral clique. And we have to be very careful when it comes to those cliques. Paul is showing his heart for the entire body of Christ. And in growing God in relationships, we have to be careful of the cliques. We have to embrace the entire body of Grace Bible Church. Sometimes it's just walking across the room. Let me challenge you this way. Some of you have kind of your special spot. Every once in a while, change. You guys are looking at me like, you're crazy. There's no way. Move somewhere else. You might get to generate a godly friendship, a godly relationship in your life. Listen, I've talked to people that have been here for quite a period of time, and they don't know everybody in church. I know more than them. I've been here 6 months. Walk across the room. I just treasure our fellowship time. But try not to go to the same people. Go to someone else. So you can generate this wonderful, godly relationship. We've got to be careful that we don't get ourselves into a bunch of little cliques. And that was the one thing when I was a youth pastor that I preached always on is, listen, I don't want to see a jock clique and a geek clique and a goth clique. I want us to be one clique. I want us to embrace each other's differences as much as our similarities. That we need to be one clique. And I tell you what, you ask my kids, we had that in our youth group. No matter how different they were, we were one clique. And that's how we need to be at Grace Bible Church. One click, not a bunch of different ones. And it's interesting here that the Lord placed these believers in Paul's life during his second missionary journey about 10 years earlier. As he went there, he shared the gospel, and they came to Christ. And, you know, these Philippians were different than a lot of the churches that he had planted because they kind of just seemed to get it. When it came to faithfulness, when it came to obedience, when it came to devotion to the Lord, they just kind of seemed to get it. He didn't have to spend a whole lot of time reprimanding them in this letter. And he wanted to just express to them how much joy they brought to his heart. And remember here, when I first started, we talked about, you know, he's thanking them for the help that they provided because, you know, he didn't have a great time here in Philippi. He went through great persecution. He was placed in stocks and he was scourged and he went through a difficult time here, but the thoughts of these friends brought him joy. The other thing that usually brought Paul joy is when he was persecuted for the cause of Christ. It brought him joy to know that he was staying firm for the cause of Christ, and that persecution he was going through usually brought him joy. Obviously it wasn't pleasurable, but it brought him joy knowing that he was taking a stand. He was preaching the gospel. He was not wavering. He was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ in any way. And that brought him joy. But also, this group of believers brought him joy as well. And unfortunately, we have many relationships in our lives that don't bring us joy, but we have to remember to thank the Lord and cherish those relationships that do. Second, we see that there's value in remembering the positive. There's value in remembering the positive. Going back to our text here in verses 3 through 6, it goes, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, God has given the value in remembering the positive. You know, his remembrance of this small body of believers brought him joy, even though that his time in Philippi wasn't necessarily joyful. It's not very joyful when you suffer persecution. And obviously, his time in Philippi wasn't a positive experience as he went through all this persecution, but the thought of these faithful believers brought him joy as he focused on the positive. I know it's hard today to be real positive about a whole lot. I know we've got a decaying society and we have a country that is desperately trying to pull away from the biblical principles that was founded. We have those that in our lives that maybe aren't, it's not the most positive relationship. But if you're looking for a positive today, know this. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed to His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. If you're looking for a positive today, if you know Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're redeemed. Nothing can pluck you out of the Father's hand. Your eternity is sealed. And guess what else? One day we're going to stand in His glory for all eternity. There's a lot to be positive about, no matter what we're going through in our relationships, what we're going through in our homes and our jobs and our financial situations. There's a lot to be positive if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning. You know, Paul wasn't focused on this negative experience in Philippi. He was thinking about those who came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He was thankful or positive about what God was doing in their lives. He was thinking about how blessed he was with their relationship. For believers today, we need to stay positive. You know, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, hey, you've got a wonderful relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, an intimate relationship. But then also, we need to be positive about the godly relationships that He has put in our life. You know, Paul was positive about the work that God was doing in this group of believers and that He was going to continue to do so. Look at verse 6. Being confident in this very thing, that He, or God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That brought him joy. He was positive. He was confident about what God was doing in their lives. And I can tell you this, when you're talking about looking at a positive when it comes to nurturing godly relationships, I can tell you this, there is nothing that brings you more joy and more blessing when you nurture this godly relationship and you help someone maybe in their spiritual walk and see God work in their lives. I can tell you, as a former youth pastor, there's nothing that blesses me more to see these young men and young ladies move on to adulthood and they get married and they start serving the Lord and they're faithful. Boy, that brings you so much joy. And the same thing with nurturing these relationships. Maybe you need to help somebody along in their spiritual walk. And then seeing God work in their life will bring your heart joy. Third, we see that there's value in remembering to praise. Value in remembering to praise. Verses 7 through 10 as I finish up. Value in remembering to praise. Verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and the confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. You know, God has given value to remembering to praise those blessed ones in our life. You know, Paul wasn't just thankful. He told them so. You know, that's another thing that's really been an encouragement to me is how often you tell each other thank you. You know, cards. You know, you give out cards right away. And of course, I've heard conversations here, face-to-face reactions of thanking each other. It's so important that we never take that for granted. It was so important at Pensacola Christian College that Becca Horton instilled that as one of the English classes, a segment of just make sure you hand out cards, make sure you write out cards, make sure you do thank you cards. It was very important to Becca Horton as she established that curriculum at Pensacola Christian College. It's important that we say thank you. It's important that we thank the Lord for these godly relationships, but it's also important that we don't take them for granted and we thank them for what they do in our lives. And I know many times they know. No, they don't. Tell them thank you. We have to say it. I heard a man tell his wife once, I told you I loved you when I married you. If it changes, I'll let you know. Wouldn't anybody in here? I told you that I loved you when I married you. If it changes, I'll let you know. We need to let each other know that we love them and we love each other. We care for each other and we appreciate each other. It needs to be expressed. But it's interesting here that Paul had a longing or a deep desire to fellowship with them. Do we have a deep desire to fellowship with the brothers and sisters of Christ in Grace Bible Church? Is that something we long for, have a deep desire for? You know? His loving wasn't from past experiences alone. It was in the unity that they had in Jesus Christ. Hopefully at Grace Bible Church, we are unified by Jesus Christ. And that we have a desire or a deep longing to fellowship with one another, to have these great godly relationships. But it's also important that we not just say it in word, but also in prayer to our Heavenly Father. Again, verses 9 and 10, it says, "For this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." We need to go to the Lord in prayer on each other's behalf. That has to be a way that we show our appreciation of this great godly relationship, this great godly friendship, is going to the Lord on others' behalf, as Paul did for these blessed believers at Philippi. You know, do we thank the Lord for the godly relationships He's divinely placed in our life? Do we focus on the positive things or do we dwell on the negative? Do we remember to express our appreciation or do we take it for granted? Do we nurture and grow godly relationships or are we just content to let them wither away? What about our relationship with the Lord? Is that something that we cherish? Is that something that we're thankful for? Is that something that we often tell the Lord, "Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for working in my life the way that you have. Thank you for drawing me close to you in my life. Thank you for these relationships that you've blessed me with." Question to ask ourselves, let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for our time here today. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you.